I have just two things to comment on still in this lecture. We're up to the seventh. And I wanted to mention, although I can't do this exhaustively now and we may have to come back to it, I wanted to mention that there are three stages in the long and vital preparation of the apostle. I'll mention it briefly and we'll come back to it in a subsequent lecture, possibly next week, when we start dealing with the question of counterfeit apostles or false apostles. There are three stages in this long and vital preparation of the apostle. They are these. The first stage is the call to be an apostle. And the call to be an apostle, of course, the Lord sees these things coming a long way off, and so he knows if there's a child or a teenager or a new convert, and he's got his eye on him. He's not saying anything about it at this time. Any sense of call to be an apostle that the person might have is most likely to come once they're in the ministry and down the track a little bit. In other words, that sense of call to a greater purpose is likely to come to young pastors or the like. Now, obviously, there's a lot of variation on that theme, and all we're saying is there does come a call. The person may or may not be aware of it in its early stages, but the call is on them. And significantly for your understanding, if the call of God to be an apostle is upon someone, they will have apostolic gifts even though they're not apostles yet. Because when you think about, well, what kind of gifts would an apostle have? You know, leadership, able to, you know, government, faith and spiritual warfare, those kinds of things, whatever else, whatever other giftedness might go, you know, the abilities in evangelism or church planting or missions, you know, there's quite a wide field of endeavor. And so there will be people that are quite gifted. The giftedness does not make you an apostle. The church needs giftedness and needs a lot of it. So all those who are called to be apostles will already have the kind of giftedness that will develop more and more and go with the job. But the point is, they have that giftedness long before they're actually apostles. And having the giftedness doesn't make them an apostle. Because this period we would call the call of an apostle lasts some considerable time. It will last years, in which the person is being put through a training process and a proving process. Lessons will have to be learned. There'll be difficult things. There'll be times when you've got to forgive. There'll be surrenders you must make. Growth in humility, the growth of love, and all kinds of things. And tests must be passed. If the tests are not passed, the person never actually becomes an apostle, even though they're in the ministry. And they'll remain in the ministry the rest of their lives, all things being equal. Not everyone does, but all things being equal, they might remain in the ministry the rest of their lives and be quite fruitful because they're preaching, they're serving people, they're praying, they have giftedness, so they may organize the church well, it may grow, all kinds of good things might happen. They mature, so they get on well with others in the city, maybe relate to them. I mean, they could do all kinds of good things, but they're not an apostle. They're an effective minister of Christ, but they never advanced in this other purpose because they did not pass the tests. Yet there are some people in this world who, because they've got the gifts, they think, oh, I'm an apostle. I'm just saying it's not so. But when the tests are passed, and this could be in their, you know, 40s or beyond, they do in fact become an apostle and are given grace to actually begin functioning as an apostle. And there'll be a lot more years then of learning, maturing, being proven, being tested. But some of those are then called to another level of apostolic ministry altogether. They're not all called. And I'll have more to say about that later, But this second stage is apostolic ministry. They become fathers. They have a good word. They can care for people. They can provide covering for other ministries. There is a lot of grace. They do carry an apostolic word and an apostolic blessing. But what most people do not realize is that there is another order of ministry altogether. And the Lord will want to raise apostles of another order. But it means that in later years, in their 50s, in their 60s, passing tests, and it's even more difficult. And the Lord does not attempt to take people there, putting them through the difficulties and the privation and the struggle, unless they are willing and unless He knows He could get them there without failing. And so there is another whole place. We'll have more to say about that later, but ultimately that third level of apostolic development is where you get the full maturity of apostolic ministry, the kind of thing we would have in mind if we're thinking about Paul and Peter and John. And with that grace comes great authority. So I want to finish with just raising with you now one final point. We've discussed the fact that apostles are given grace and they have authority, they have a governmental role, they provide covering for the church. You know, there's many things you could say and you'll need to read more, but there's one thing that needs to be said, that apostles in the end are servants. They're servants of Christ as well as the church. And I wanted to point out to you that the servant status of the apostle is that of the bondslave. The bondslave is referred to in Old Testament scripture, where someone says, I love my master, I love my master's house. And they make themselves a slave of their master for life. And this kind of idea the apostles took up, that's what an apostle is. You come to the place where you are yielded. This is what an apostle says, what all Christians should seek to do. Come to the place where you are so yielded, you are the servant of God, the slave of God, the bond slave. A bond slave was a love slave. You make yourself the slave or the servant of because of your love. I'm going to show you five verses. Now, in this modern translation, which I'm using the NIV, you'll just see the word servant. But all this other idea that I've been speaking of is implied in the use of this term as far as scriptures that were written 2,000 years ago. So here we go. Let's see what they say about themselves. First of all, Paul in Romans 1. Notice it's Romans 1, verse 1. The first verse of his long book. And Paul says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Now we go to James. Notice it's James 1, 1. Opening statement. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes. We go to Peter. Notice it's 2 Peter, but see again the verse 1:1, opening statement. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. We go to Jude. Again, 1:1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. Should we have been surprised by now? And we go to one more. John. All right, who have we had so far? Paul, James, Peter, Jude, and now John. Let's see what he says. And again, it's Revelation 1:1. He says, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. So friends, the humility and the gentleness of apostles, their purpose, you know, is for Christ and the church. Anyway, I present you these truths. And along with this, in the online school, there'll be other materials to study and documents to read.